الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها كثيرا وعملا متفضلا. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا بما يحب ويرضى، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. إن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، respected brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we inshallah are continuing our seminar on the Fiqh of Hajj, and we inshallah will begin or start the chapter on the restrictions of Ihram, the Mahdurat al-Ihram. And as Shaykh Sajidi mentioned in the previous session, Ihram is one of the pillars of the Hajj. Ihram, it means entering into a state of consecration, a state where one makes certain things prohibited to himself or herself. A person who's in the state of ihram, they have entered into a state where certain things that are permissible outside of the state of ihram, they become haram upon the person. And any violation of those things would cause the state of ihram to require a compensation if the person did it deliberately and willfully. So inshallah we'll begin with the things that violate the state of ihram. The first thing that violates the state of ihram, in fact the greatest thing, the most dangerous thing, is the sexual intercourse. Person having relations with his spouse. This would not only violate the state of ihram, but it will in fact completely nullify the Hajj. This is the greatest, the gravest violation of the ihram. If somebody were to have the spousal relationship, then the entire Hajj is ruined. And the person, they have to not only complete the rituals of that Hajj, they have to repeat the Hajj the following year. They would have to repeat the Hajj the following year in order to compensate for breaking the ihram through the sexual relations. Also, part of what is prohibited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا رَفَثَ. لَا رَفَثَ, رَفَثَ literally in Arabic, it means the speech that implies sexual meaning. So any of the muqaddamat al-jima, any of the precursors to the relations, is also prohibited. So kissing, touching with desire, any of the things that are leading to the act of relations, this is also haram. And this is also a violation of the sanctity of the ihram. So this is the first matter that violates ihram, the spousal relations and anything that leads to it, of kissing or foreplay. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ. Fusuq, it means sin. And doing any sin, it's haram, of course, outside of ihram, but it's more haram inside the state of ihram. And the ulama, they say that the sin is multiplied not in quantity, but in quality, qualitatively. If a person, they do a sin, and they're in that state of ihram, they're in the house of Allah in Mecca, the question is, do those sins get multiplied just like the good deeds get multiplied? If somebody is in the haram and they do a sin, does the sin get multiplied just like the good deeds get multiplied? What do you think? If a person, they disobey a king in his own courtyard, is that worse than disobeying the king away from his courtyard? It's worse, right? So the ulama, they say that the sin is multiplied in terms of its qualitative, its greatness in the sight of Allah, but not in terms of the quantity, not in terms of the counting of the sin. So doing sin in a state of ihram or in the haram is also prohibited even more than outside the state of ihram. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِ. Jidal in Arabic, jidal, it means disputing, fighting, arguing. And this is also prohibited in a state of ihram. If a person is in a state of ihram, then they should avoid argumentation. They should avoid fighting, disputation with their fellow Muslims. Now, and this is also very important because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَ كَيَوْمَ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. A person who goes to the Hajj and he doesn't use obscene speech and he doesn't do the sins, he comes back as if he's a newborn baby, just like the day he was born. So if a person were to argue or a person were to do a sin or use foul speech in the Hajj, then this would mean that it would decrease the reward of the Hajj and that he would not have the complete reward of that Hajj if he did those things. The fourth thing that would violate the state of ihram is wearing the sewn clothing. Wearing the sewn clothing. And what is meant here by the sewn clothing is not anything that has stitches in it. Some people, they say stitched clothing, but actually the term stitched clothing is not precise. What it means is any clothing that is sewn to fit the shape of the body. So for example, a shirt, trousers, a thobe, a gown, these types of things that are shaping around the body, then these things are not allowed to be worn by the men. By the men in state of ihram. For women, women are allowed to wear the normal clothing. Whatever they normally wear, they're allowed to wear in the state of ihram. As for the men, they are not allowed to wear clothing that shapes the body. Now, unless they have no other clothing. If they have nothing else to wear, then they can enter into the state of ihram even with the sewn clothing. But if they don't have the unsewn clothing, if they do have it, then they must remove their normal clothing and wear the unsewn clothing. Now, also the clothing that one puts on, this is a very interesting point, that it should not be perfumed. If somebody, they are going to put their ihram on, they can put as much perfume as they like on their body, on their hair, on their beard, but they should not put the perfume on their gown, on their ihram dress. And if they do that, then they should wash the ihram dress so that there's no remaining scent on the dress itself. They can have the remnants of the scent on their body, but they should not put it on their clothing. Aisha, she said, I perfumed the Prophet ﷺ before he put on his ihram, and after he came out of the state of ihram, she put perfume on his body. But in terms of the clothing, the ulama, they state, we're not allowed to put the perfume on the clothing of the ihram itself. And of course, we know that putting the scent on is prohibited as well. Wearing scented or wearing anything with scent is not allowed in the state of ihram. Putting on perfumes on the body after the state of ihram is not allowed. Is not allowed. After entering the state of ihram, it's not allowed to put on perfume or scent. What about scented soap? You hear a lot about making sure you use unscented soap. Is that required? Are you allowed to use soap that has a scent on it? Actually, the ulama, they stated that the scented soap is not, it's not itar, it's not tlib, it's not perfume that you wear deliberately to perfume yourself. It's, and it doesn't leave, it's not, its effect is not the same as a perfume. So it's not prohibited to use it, but it's better to be on the safe side to avoid it. But it's not disallowed to use the scented soap. Also, wearing these shoes, wearing shoes during the state of Ihram, is it allowed to wear shoes, sneakers? Not for men. It's not allowed for men to wear the shoes or the sneakers. What men they can wear is the sandals, the slippers. And what about khuf? It's allowed to wear khufs in the state of Ihram?
Khufs?
Khufs. No, the khufs that you put on the feet, the leather socks.
No, because they have the
stitches
and they made to fit.
Actually, the some of the ulama, they said there's a hadith that says whoever wears a khuf, if he cannot find sandals, he can wear the khuf, but let him cut it till it's below the ankles, so that it doesn't cover up the ankles. But there are some ulama that state that hadith is abrogated, that he has to cut it below the ankles. So they say that it would be allowed for the person to wear the khuf, inshallah ta'ala. But normally speaking, they should not wear socks, or if they have sandals, they shouldn't wear the khuf. But if they don't have the khuf, then they, the sandals, then they can wear the khuf. For women, are they allowed to wear socks? Yes, women are allowed to wear socks. In fact, they should wear the socks, because the strongest view is that the feet are also part of the ayah. So the women, they're allowed to wear the socks as well. Also, for women, when we talk about the ihram for women, they are not allowed to wear the niqab, the face veil. Women, there's some women that they cover their face, the niqab, but during the ihram, it is haram for a woman to wear the niqab and the gloves. In the state of ihram, a woman is not allowed to cover her face with something tied to her head. This is prohibited, and also the gloves. But the ulama said if a woman, she fears fitna, if there are men looking at her, she can cover her face with her veil. She can cover up her face like that to prevent men from staring at her. As Aisha, she mentioned in an authentic hadith that in the ihram, she was not covering her face, but whenever men came by, they would cover up their face like this. So covering up the face in ihram, that does not violate the ihram, but wearing a niqab, that is not allowed, that is prohibited in the state of ihram. What about wearing the mask? You see some people on the Hajj, they wear these surgical masks to prevent some disease. They might have a weakened immune system. They wear these surgical masks. Is that a violation of the ihram? Ulama, they say it's allowed if there's a need for it. Some of the Sahaba even, they covered their face because there was dust or there were some things that were disturbing. So they would cover up their mouth with a type of cloth. And so there's no harm and they don't have to pay fidya if they wear the surgical mask. Also for the prohibitions of the ihram. Prohibitions of the ihram. One of the prohibitions of the ihram is taking anything from the nails or the hair or the skin. So a person in the state of ihram, they're not allowed to clip their nails or cut from their hair. This applies to both men and women. They cannot take from their nails or cut their hair. But what if a few hairs fall out? Somebody, they're washing their hair. Are they allowed to wash their hair and their beard? This is allowed. And even if some hairs fall out, there's no sin on a person. There's no prohibition for that. A person, if they were to, even they say you're even allowed to comb the hair and the beard, if a few hairs come out, it's not prohibition, it's not forbidden, it will not violate the ihram, but some of the ulama say it's better to avoid combing the hair and the beard, but if one were to do it, then the ihram would still be valid, inshallah ta'ala. What else is prohibited? Another thing that's prohibited in the state of ihram is, we mentioned cutting the hair. What if somebody, there was a sahabi, he got lice in his hair, and he's in the state of ihram. So, usually the way that they would treat it is they would shave their heads. They would shave their heads, so then the lice, they would get killed, they would be able to cure that illness. So if you're in a state of ihram, is it allowed? What should one do if they have the head lice? They're allowed to shave their head in that case. The man is allowed to shave his head, but he has to offer the atonement. He has to offer a fidya. They have to offer the fidya for violating the ihram. The fidya for violating the ihram, what is it? Slaughtering a sheep, or feeding 6 poor people, or fasting 3 days during the Hajj, on the Hajj. Either of these are the atonements for violating the ihram, inshallah ta'ala. Also, the things that are prohibited in the Hajj, one of the very interesting ones, is contracting marriage. If somebody were to go on Hajj and they're in the state of ihram, they're not allowed to propose a marriage to another person. They're not allowed to carry out the contract for themselves, nor for on behalf of somebody else. So say if 2 people traveled for Hajj, there was a father and a groom who wanted to get married, and they're both, either one of them are in the state of ihram, it's not allowed to do the contract while they're in, either one is in the state of ihram. Sisters, I hope the sisters can hear. For the sisters, I hope the sisters can hear, inshallah. So in the state of ihram, doing the marriage contract or proposing the marriage, this is not allowed in the state of ihram. They can wait until they finish the ihram, inshallah ta'ala. When they come out of ihram, then they can do the marriage, inshallah, or do the proposal, inshallah ta'ala. And hopefully a person in the state of ihram, they wouldn't be thinking about that in the state of ihram, thinking about proposing the marriage to a woman there. Also, what is prohibited in the state of ihram, and this is a very interesting one, is it allowed to hunt the hunted animal in the state of ihram? Hunting is prohibited. Hunting of the land animals. What about if somebody were in ihram, they were in Jeddah, which is on the ocean. Could they catch the fish? Could they go and hunt the fish or under the water? Hunting of the water game is allowed in the state of ihram, the water game. But the land game, the rabbits, deer, gazelle, those are not allowed in the state of ihram. The person, they hunted an animal in the state of ihram, then they have to pay the expiation. The expiation for the hunted animal is they have to have 2 people judge what is the equivalent animal to that hunted animal in terms of domesticated animals, and they have to sacrifice it. So, for example, if they hunted a deer, then there would be 2 people who judge of the people of knowledge what is the expiation for that. So they would give the ruling that he has to sacrifice a cow, for example. And the cow has to be distributed to the poor of the compensate. If he killed a rabbit, so many of the ulama, they said the equivalent for the rabbit is a sheep, in order to compensate for killing the rabbit, etc. So hunting the land animals is not allowed, but hunting the sea animals is allowed. What about if you didn't hunt the animal, but you saw a rabbit, and you told somebody who's not in the state of ihram, there's a rabbit behind this bush, can you hunt it? And so that person, he hunted the rabbit. Are you allowed to eat from that? Are you allowed to eat from the rabbit? No. Because in the state of Ihram, you're not even allowed to point out that there's an animal hiding someplace. Any helping whatsoever to hunt that animal is prohibited, it's haram. Person cannot help another person hunting. Somebody's hunting and he sees a mahram, did you see a deer pass this way? You cannot tell him yes. It's not allowed to do that. Helping in any way to hunt an animal is prohibited. And the Prophet ﷺ, somebody came to him and he offered him some hunted animal. The Prophet ﷺ, he ate from it. On another occasion, a person came and he got a hunted animal to the Prophet ﷺ. He was in Ihram on both occasions. This time he said, no, I can't, I will not eat it. So what is the explanation? The ulama said that in the first case, the person who hunted the animal, he hunted it, he wasn't in Ihram, he didn't have the intention of giving it to the Prophet ﷺ. He just hunted it for himself and he's not in Ihram. So when he brought that meat to the Prophet ﷺ, is there anything wrong with him eating it? No, he's a person who hunted it, he wasn't in Ihram, and he didn't do it for the sake of the Prophet ﷺ. On the second occasion, the person, he knew the Prophet ﷺ was passing through, and he was in the state of Ihram, so he went, the Prophet ﷺ was in Ihram, he went and hunted it for the Prophet ﷺ. So, the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that, he hunted it for me, and I'm in the state of Ihram, so he said, this is haram, and not allowed to eat from the animal, inshallah tonight. So, this is also something that's prohibited in the Ihram. InshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, so these are the things that violate the Ihram. Now, what are some of the things that don't break the Ihram? This is something.
Yeah. What about the.
Yes, okay. Jazakallah khair. There are a few things here, a few other things perhaps we can mention. Covering the head for a man. Is a man allowed to wear a hat or a kufi? They're not allowed to cover the head in the state of Ihram. The state of Ihram is not allowed to cover the head. What about sitting in a car with something over the head, right? Is that allowed? Yes. It's allowed to take shade. If one were to sit under a tree, sit inside of a bus, things like that, they don't have to sit on the roof of the bus. Sit inside the bus, there's no harm in that, inshallah. The only thing that's prohibited is putting a hat or putting something over that. Even using an umbrella, this is allowed in the state of Ihram, inshallah. No. So this is it's okay to hold an umbrella, but if one were to put a hat on, then if they did it on purpose, they have to pay the fidyah. If they forgot, they just forgot out of forgetfulness. And this is an important point. All of the violations of Ihram, if one does them out of forgetfulness or by mistake, do they have to pay fidya? No fidya. Because of the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَا تُوَخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسْنِنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not hold us to account if we forget or make a mistake. And in the tafsir, Allah responded, He said, I have done that. I will not hold you to account. So somebody, they do any of the violations of Ihram by accident or out of forgetfulness, it does not affect their Ihram, there's no compensation for it, except for the sexual relations. Somebody cannot use the excuse, I forgot, or I made a mistake for sexual relations. Even if they did it by mistake or forgot, they might have, but it violates the Ihram and ruins the Hajj. All other than that, wearing perfume, covering the head, wearing stitched clothing, even any of these things, if one does it by mistake or forgetfulness, there it doesn't harm the Ihram, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay. Any other questions on the Ihram? No other questions on the Ihram? A couple of things that don't violate Ihram, or a couple of things that are controversial or questionable. What if somebody wants to take off their ihram garment and change it with another one? Is that allowed to do that? Somebody's wearing a ihram garment and they want to change it with a different one. Are they allowed to do that in ihram? Yes. There's no harm in changing the ihram garment or washing the ihram garment. There's nothing wrong with it. What about taking a ghusl, taking a shower, to allow him to take a ihram? It's allowed to take a shower. There's no harm in doing a ghusl in the state of ihram. This does not affect the ihram, inshallah ta'ala. Also, itching the head is mentioned here in the books. Itching or scratching, somebody has scratching, they don't have to go to extremes. I don't want to scratch the beard, or I don't want to scratch my hair. It's allowed to do that if they have the need for it. Wearing a belt, it's allowed to wear a belt to protect one's money. They can wear a belt, they can wear a ring, they can wear a hearing aid. These things, they do not affect the ihram, inshallah ta'ala. What about putting kuhul in the eyes? This is what I think. Putting the kuhul, there's no harm in doing that. The kuhul, it's not like perfume. It's no problem to put the kuhul in the eyes. Killing the flies, lice, things like that, harmful insects, ticks, mosquitoes, this is allowed. It's allowed to do that in the state of ihram. It's allowed to do that in the state of ihram. And, you know, one should not dig into that and say, oh, this is like hunting an animal, they killed a mosquito. Some people, they take Ibn Abbas from Iraq, and they said, are we allowed to kill the mosquito in the state of ihram? So Ibn Abbas, he became very angry with those people who came from Iraq. He said, you killed Hassan, Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet, and you're worried about killing a mosquito in the state of ihram? He said, like, they were going to extremes. You know, they're worried about killing a little mosquito, and they killed the grandson of the Prophet. So he was very upset that they would be, this is a type of extremism. They're extreme about a mosquito, and yet they neglect the greatest right of the grandson of the Prophet. So using, killing the harmful insects, there's no harm in doing that. Inshallah ta'ala, somebody to kill the insect or the flea or the mosquito. There's five vicious animals that it's allowed to kill in the state of ihram and outside of it. A vicious animal. There's a dog that's attacking a person. He's in the state of ihram. He's allowed to kill it. The Prophet, he said, the five things that are killed, five vicious animals that are killed even in the haram, he said they are the crow, the kite, scorpion, mouse, and ravenous dog. And in Bukhari, this is reported by a Muslim in Bukhari who had it, and a snake. If somebody's in ihram, or they're in a haram, there's a snake, a cobra, they're allowed to kill it. They're allowed to kill it. There's a ravenous dog, an attacking dog, they're allowed to kill it. A scorpion, they're allowed to kill it. The mouse, and the kite, and the crow. No. Okay, so this is some of the mahkurat of the ihram, things that are prohibited in the state of ihram. If one violates them, then they have to. What is the fidya providing the ihram? Three things, right? Slaughtering a sheep. This is for any of the things except the spousal relations. Spousal relations, what do they have to do? They have to slaughter a camel. They have to slaughter a camel according to the strongest view. And they have to repeat the Hajj, the following day. The Hajj is invalidated. Other than that, if they do any of the other things that violate the ihram, they have to slaughter a sheep or feed six poor people or fast 3 days. ففدية من صيام أو صدقة أو نسك. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, either fasting or the pay the sadaqa or the do the slaughter, inshaAllah ta'ala. Any questions up to here? Questions on the ihram? Sisters, you have any questions? You can pass the paper over. Is it clear for everybody? Everything's clear, inshallah? All right, if you don't have questions, I can quiz you. I just want to see if you were, everybody was paying attention. Is it allowed to hunt a fish in Ihram? Shabbat, okay. Is it allowed to hunt a... is it allowed to point out an animal for somebody else to hunt in Ihram? Not allowed. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you. May Allah accept from all of us, inshallah. And inshallah, after the Isha prayer, for those of us, if you'd like to stay, you're encouraged and welcome to stay, inshallah. Sheikh Saj is here also. We'll have the inshallah continuation of the Hajj. And hopefully, we'll finish our Hajj today, inshallah. If we don't finish Hajj today, then we'll next week.
Sheikh,
yes.
Also encourage everybody, they should make their intention.
Yes. We mentioned in the beginning that whoever makes the Hajj for the sake of Allah and they don't violate the terms of the Hajj, they come back like a newborn baby. Such a great reward. Such a great reward in the sight of Allah. It's one of the obligations for every Muslim man and woman who has the ability to. And also it's the Prophet ﷺ, he said, there's no reward for the accepted Hajj except Al-Jannah, except Paradise. And two things that we'll close with this is the purpose behind the Hajj. Purpose behind the Hajj. One is it shows our ubudiyah, our tawheed in Allah ta'ala. We go to Hajj, all of the rituals of Hajj, it embodies the rituals of Islam. Actually, all five pillars of Islam are involved in the Hajj. The Shahada, we say the Shahada on the day of Arafah. The Zakat, the Sadaqah, we pay Sadaqah if we violate the Hajj. Fasting, we violate the Hajj and fast. The Salah, we have the Salah behind Maqam Ibrahim. Actually, the Hajj is an embodiment of all the pillars of Islam. It shows our obedience to Allah. And also from the social, the concept of bringing the whole ummah together, the unity. And the ulama, they say, if we can achieve unity in the Hajj, then we should be able to bring that concept back and achieve unity as an ummah. And bring our ummah together as one collective body, inshallah ta'ala. So this is a great lesson in the Hajj for the believers. So it's a great reward, inshallah, for going. And as Sheikh Sajid mentioned in the beginning, that it causes a person to love the origin and the founding place of Islam and the Sunnah. For a person, they feel an attachment to the land of Prophet Muhammad. And for this reason, there's a hadith that mentions that whoever has the ability to go for Hajj and he does not go, then let him die as a Jew or a Christian, if he likes. I mean, somebody who doesn't care about going for Hajj, then as if he could die as a Jew or a Christian, it would not matter. Do you have to go for Hajj immediately, or can you delay it? Most people, they say, I'm going to wait till I'm old, retired, and then just go for Hajj and alhamdulillah, all my life sins will be forgiven. Actually, most of the ulama of the view, the strongest view is that one should go as soon as they have the ability. They shouldn't put it off. Because the Prophet said, you don't know what might happen. You might get sick, you might get ill, something might come up and prevent you from going. And the Prophet, some scholars, they say that the ayah of Hajj came in the sixth year of Hijrah. he delayed, he didn't go for Hajj until the 19th. So some of the ulama said it's okay to delay. But actually the stronger view is that the Prophet, the command for the Hajj, came in the 8th year and he went right away. This is what Ibn Qayyim did. So he did the Hajj as soon as he had the ability. So this is something that's very important for us to, inshallah, have the intention for it at least. Inshallah, may Allah join us there, inshallah ta'ala. And in the paradise,